The official timekeeper says it is 6:30. I will call the Tuesday, September 23rd Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Present.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans. Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. I see we have a Boy Scout in the audience. Would you like to come forward and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Please stand.
This is Alex Mathers. He is here for his merit badge of citizen in the community.
So oh, you. Boy. Alex?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, you do know in order to earn that badge, you've got to stick through the whole meeting.
No, I told him he's just going to get the gist of it. He's not going to be here until midnight.
Oh, come on, Dan. A1, we do have a quorum. Item B1, citizen's comment. Is there a citizen wishing to speak on any issue? Please come forward. Give your name and address for the record.
Absolutely. Jill Erickson, 8016 South 60th Street. At the September 9th council meeting, I was disappointed when Alderwoman Janet Evans stated that I was not a suitable appointment for the Quarry Monitoring Committee because I was, quote, unquote, biased, ostensibly because I endorsed the committee's recommendation to retain independent monitoring of the quarry. I cannot understand Ms. Evans' objections. If one were to follow that logic, one would have to believe that Ms. Evans thinks that the present members of the Quarry Monitoring Committee are, quote, unquote, biased. I find that baffling. The Quarry Monitoring Committee is tasked with reviewing PDDs 23 and 24, which define regulations and compliance requirements pertaining to the quarry's operations. The PDDs state that the city has the power to hire an independent consultant at the quarry's expense to monitor the quarry's activities. The committee recommended that such independent monitoring be continued. This is not biased. I can only conclude one of the following explanations for Ms. Evans' objections. One, Ms. Evans does not understand that the quarry monitoring's responsibilities are to scrutinize the PDDs to ensure that both the quarry and the city are meeting compliance regulations. Two, Ms. Evans did not read the Quarry Monitoring Committee's recommendations. Three, Ms. Evans read the recommendations but did not understand them. Or possibly four, Ms. Evans doesn't care about the residents who live near the quarry. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Erickson. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Mr. Lewandowski, you know the routine.
Lou Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I just want to remind the Common Council that the quarry comes under the jurisdiction of Code 178, which is public nuisance. There is no item on that list that will relieve the quarry from becoming a public nuisance under that code, and yet we let them operate. We also kind of turned down a funeral home, which would have been nice and quiet, and I agree that's the wrong place for a funeral home, but considering that we have a blasting, dust, trucking, and it's a harm to the people's welfare, their health. All of this comes under the code of 178, and we don't seem to be doing anything about it. It's a public nuisance. We should shut it down. I got another article on number 15, no parking around the post office. I feel that the idea of no parking suggested by the DPW on one side is great, but I think we should carry it one step further on both sides because it is bad on both sides when you try to get in and out. I think we have some ordinances, don't we, whereby when a place like the post office increases their traffic with their trucks and their parking and more employees that the planning department is supposed to get involved and increase the parking. I don't know if the post office got permission to bring all these people from Hill's Corners. Did they ever get involved to make sure that that was would operate correctly? I don't know. We've got ordinances, and our people here should have done something, we wouldn't have had that traffic problem. But since it's existing, what the DPW is suggesting is a good idea, but I feel it should go a little bit further and go on the other side too, because people come around the corner from Loomis and you can't seem to come up there too quick. I want to also talk about item 2 and 3, where you were going into a $2 million bond issue for debt. How come we're in debt? I don't quite understand it, to the tune of $2 million. And I can understand the $1.3 million for the water department building, and I agree that something should be done. However, I cannot see why these two can't be combined as one type of bond issue and just have two accounts when you get the money, so that you might be able to save some money without having two bond issues. They tell me that the water department is an entity of its own. However, it's managed by the Department of Engineering. I can't quite understand why. I was told that that cost of $1.3 million is going to be tacked onto our water bills over a period of, 20, 25 years? The city will own that building. So it's part of the city's structure. I feel that that should be on the regular tax bill because the city owns it. The engineering department manages it, so it should be part of the city. It shouldn't be on the water basis. If it does, it belongs to Oak Creek. Oak Creek furnishes the water. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Anybody else? Anyone else? All right, you got three chances. Close the citizen comment period. Item B2, mayoral announcements. Update on the city engineer. We have a conditional offer to a candidate who has accepted, but it is a conditional offer pending background check, health check, that kind of thing. So we would expect him to start couple 3 weeks ish. Yeah. So it's in the works. Mayor's health challenge, we did join. I did. I have to join the city in the now South Suburban Mayor's Health Challenge. Yeah, I know. It's kind of ironic.
Why?
Who laughed? Rachel? But I had a kickoff event this past weekend. I urge you all to become involved. It's free to everybody for everything. And it essentially costs the city nothing to participate. It's all vendor provided. So I urge you all to...
Does this involve pouring ice over our heads? Oh, that's a different one.
That's a different challenge.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
Do you have a date for that?
There's one in the library, a yoga session. We'll make sure that you all, I mean, you all should get the stuff now, but they're happening quite regularly throughout the South Suburban area. Inspection Department, our chief building inspector is back on the job. Fred Baumgart has reasonably recovered. We still are temporary employment. We still have a temporary building inspector trying to work through. Mark nodded at me.
Mr. Mayor, can we get an inspection update report? I know Mr. Liberta said we would get one of those on complaints. Is that still in the works?
I expect to actually get it from Fred this week. Returning to office is a little backed up, so I had him focus on clearing permits before getting the report, so I apologize for that. But I expect to get a copy that I can then distribute by the.
Yeah, I'd ask that the council indulge me while we try to get out from underneath some of this, if we could. I understand emergencies being what they are, constituent service, but item 2D, radio system fees. This revolves around our public safety radio system. The county board finance committee voted 9-0 to pass to recommend those fees be put in place and the IGA be put in place. Mr. Liberta had a pretty strongly worded but effective, I can't say it was effective because it was 9-0, but it was a pretty good statement made. There will be an ongoing discussion at the ICC at the next meeting regarding these fees. Mr. Liberta subsequently met with the business person in charge of the fees. She was very pleasant, and nothing came of it. So the county is bent on charging us more money for things we already pay for. So that's it for that. Item C, approval of regular minutes. In at your places, there's a change to the minutes.
Motion to approve as amended.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
I actually have a change.
I'm sorry. Alderwoman Mayer.
Yeah, on item G5, the second paragraph, it just needs to be clarified a little bit, I guess. to read, S. Mayer moved to refer the subject property to the Quarry Monitoring Committee for the consult with staff and the committee, bring back the proposal to the Common Council.
Is that your motion, Alderman Schmidt?
Yes.
And
It was seconded by Mark D'Andrea.
And we're all doing a good job, but let's remember to use the microphones. Thanks. There's a motion on the floor to approve the minutes as amended. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those...
Discussion.
Yes, Alderman Mayer.
Just backing up to the radio system fees. Just one example of Milwaukee County. You want a second first, right?
We got a second, but that doesn't relate to the minutes, so...
Let's finish
the minutes and we'll back up.
Okay.
Is this in last week's minutes?
No.
No. Okay.
No. This is in the consent agenda.
Okay.
The announcements.
All right. All those in favor of the motion to approve as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We'll return to B2D. Alderman Mayer.
Does this mean that we're approving the fees tonight then, if this is on our...
No.
Okay.
This is just informational.
Okay, I just want to throw it out there again. City of Wauwatosa receives $1.3 million a year for housing the Milwaukee County Public Works facility. What do we receive for housing Milwaukee County House of Correction or the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Training Academy? I believe it's zero. The other thing is, County Executive Abley, who I'm generally a supporter of, is bragging about his agenda, not raising any tax levy. Well, he's charging $400,000 to the other municipalities, so some of those municipalities may have to raise their tax levy to come up with that. So he's just shifting the tax burden, in my view. So this will come up again for more discussion. I just wanted to get that out there for now.
Thank you, Alderman. All right, we'll return to the agenda item. Let's go to G1. Authorization. Let me get to it. Carlson Brady LLP has represented the city in over years. A proposal for $2 million budgeted general obligation notes under consideration for later this fall. Mr. Rosenberg. This correctly titled is Authorization to Engage Quarles & Brady, LLP as a bond counsel for $2 million of GO promissory notes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have before you this evening a draft agreement or an agreement with Quarles & Brady to provide services in relation to a pending general obligation bond that the city is considering selling. This particular opinion would provide an opinion to both the city and the purchasers of the bonds that the bonds do in fact qualify as tax-exempt bonds, which would provide the best pricing to the city in the event of a sale of said bonds. So we're looking for approval of this particular agreement. But I would remind the council that Quarles & Brady does not represent the city in this matter. They are an independent party who are opining on the tax qualification of the bonds.
And they've done this service for us in the past.
They have.
Motion regarding this?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Motion to authorize engagement of Quarles & Brady LLP as bond counsel for $2 million City of Franklin General Obligation Promissory Notes, Series 2014A. Any further discussion? Alderman Wilhelm.
It might be more appropriate to cover this later, but it is stated right here in the action sheet. The general obligation note will fund the capital improvement, fund the approved projects for 2014, but I would like them listed for the record.
Okay, let's get the bond council. Any further discussion?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question.
I was requesting that the capital improvement projects that are going to be funded by this note be listed for the record, because it just says it will be used to pay capital improvement funds approved for 2014, but there is no list within the information and budget.
So are we going to do that, or what was going to happen?
We'll have a general discussion of that under the next item, which is the bond.
Okay.
A motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor to appoint Quarles and Brady, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G2, resolution providing for the sale of approximately $2 million in GO bonds.
Can we go back to that real quickly? I missed an item clarification in the contract.
All right. We'll go back to item G1.
It's on
but it is voted on, so...
It's on page 12. I just asked if they someone could clarify when it says we will consult with you under fees.
It's page 3 of the Wasbury letter.
Page 12 or 3 of the letter.
Second to last line under fees, it says we will consult with you. Is that council or who? I was just looking for clarification on that, who you is in the contract.
The U would be the city, and they would consult probably with the director of finance, myself, in the event of such a need.
I thought the contract was nice, where it had a nice tone.
Item G2, Mr. Ratzenberg.
G2 is a resolution that would authorize the sale of the $2 million in promissory notes. This would be funding the 2014 capital improvement plan as included in our 2014 budget. Mr. Mayor, would you like me to list the projects in that plan?
The highlights. The big ones. Pleasant View Park. Roof project.
Try and be brief, Mr. Mayor. For those of you who do have your 2014 budget with you, those, if that's on page 55 and 56 of our 2014 budget document, those projects would include the work that's being done on South 76th Street. The city has some shared costs in that particular project. There's also a police dispatch center for $172,000. That project was completed earlier this year. These monies would fund that. There were several park improvement projects. The one that the council recently approved in July, I believe, was the Pleasant View Park. The construction contract there was $923,000, and there is a professional contract related to that for approximately $30,000. Those would be the major projects included in this. When we put the plan together originally, there was a $2 million borrowing in our capital improvement plan. And assuming those revenues come in along with the landfill siting fees that we anticipated, the fund would be available to expend $7.4 million in projects and leave a fund balance of $375,000.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenberg. Any other questions?
So you're covering about $1 million here. Sorry.
No, I had no question.
Excuse me. My apologies. Alderwoman Mayor. Thank you, Mr. City Attorney.
So you're covering about $1 million in what you listed. And you're leaving a balance of 375, or is that the 375 is with the fees from the dump? Like, what's the rest of the stuff that this is covering?
There were a number of projects listed in our capital improvement program. I listed the major items in that particular plan, but there were other items that I didn't enumerate. There are other sources of revenue, i.e. matching impact fees. But as the plan was put together, there were insufficient resources to meet all of the demands of the various projects. And that is necessitating the need for the sale of these particular bonds. Should all of those revenues be available, the capital improvement fund, which is the fund that deals with the resources and expenditures of the major infrastructure projects of the city would end up with a $375,000 fund balance.
This was anticipated in last year's budget by the Common Council, acted on and approved then. And because of timing, we're here today to do the actual borrowing that was anticipated back this time last year. And
this action would actually authorize the sale of the bond, and that would cause staff to work with other professionals to begin to prepare the documents. The actual sale of the bond would be scheduled for December 2nd, and the council would have the opportunity to accept or reject those offers on the bond at that time.
And this was reviewed and approved by the Finance Committee?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was, Mr. Mayor. We had a rather lengthy discussion in the Finance Committee in regards to the amount of money that we should be borrowing. Due to the environment, the lending environment, or the borrowing environment right now, and where the bond rates are today, we were tossing around larger numbers than what you're seeing today. But due to the health and the reserves that the city has, we elected to scale the amount that we're borrowing down to the amount that you're seeing today. Because we can get such an attractive rate, it's advantageous for us to take this, to borrow and put out these bonds. And there was a question out there, bonds versus notes. We're dividing this for a reason. One structure wanted to pay back the debt within a 10-year period, and that's why it goes on a note. The bonds go out longer term, and that's why there's a certain amount of money that's going out on a bond issuance. And if you would like further clarification, I know we've got our representative here that would that could allude and elaborate on all of this. But we've also had other issues that have come up, Suzanne, in regards to Scepter Drive and a water situation where we have to replace. And the engineer's here, he could tell us what we need to replace. And then we had the overruns on 76th Street with our water situation there and the retention walls that have to go in. There's a lot of unforeseen situations that have occurred with some of our road construction that's going on that is our expense. And if we don't borrow the money, we're gonna put our general fund, we're gonna jeopardize our general fund and our reserve dollars there. And that's why we need to do what we're doing.
Is there a motion to approve the resolution providing for the sale of approximately $2 million in general obligation promissory notes series 2014A?
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Excellent, Ms. Gunderson. Thank you. Item G3. This relates to the water department. I'm going to read it from here. Is there an authorization to engage Quarles and Brady's bond council for the City of Franklin General Obligation Water System Bond Series 2014B. This is the same item as G1, except a different name.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item is initial resolution authorizing general obligation bonds in an amount not to exceed $1,300,000 for the water system project. Same as item G2, different name. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Well, just before we vote on this, could we have a little discussion on the effects of the bonds on our bond capacity and future projects and what we're at for our percent based on what the state for the 5% of, just to, you know, to reassure us if we have any other projects that might come forward that were within the ability to room to work with for.
Ms. Gunderson.
Thank you. There was a packet of information provided to.
Oh, wait, a point of order. This revolves around the water utility, not the City of Franklin. It's the water utility agenda item.
Because they're issued as general obligation bonds and general obligation notes, they count against the statutory authority for issuance of general obligation debt. So if there was a document, I believe you were provided in your packet, titled pre-sale report, if you would graciously turn to page 9 or the second to the last page of that document, there's a table which we've... Yours probably is black and white, mine's color, I apologize.
What? I know, but our color... It's our numbered by council packet.
It's council packet page number 28.
Okay. Page 9.
Got it.
Okay. This is paired as a projection of your borrowing capacity. And to kind of walk you through the schedule, if you look at the left-hand side of the schedule, there's a year that would be your budget year. And your equalized value, the first number on that schedule is the actual equalized value that was certified by the Department of Revenue in August of this year for January 1 of 14. That statutory capacity is calculated against that total equalized value for the community. We have done some projections going forward because we don't want to just look at issuance of this debt alone, but the potential for future borrowing. So we've done some conservative projections on that equalized value, and that next column kind of shows last year you had a 5.14% increase in that. We're holding that constant and then some gradual increases and fluctuations in that, but fairly conservative projection going forward. Your debt limit capacity, and it would probably have been meaningful to put the rate on here, but it's 5% of your overall equalized value. So that calculates, for example, in 2014, the city has the capacity under state statute to have $179 million of general obligation outstanding. You presently have $33 million of that. The next schedule is showing how aggressively that's getting paid down, but you're currently at about 18.55% of that capacity. You have an internal policy that limits you to 40%. Now, the remaining columns of this schedule are, you'll see that we've got both the 2014 bonds and notes identified, the $2 million and the $1.3. Jumping over to the right-hand side, that would take you to $36 million. It takes you to 20%. So you almost have you could have twice as much outstanding and still be within your own policy, but you have a residual capacity under state statute of $142 million. The other items on here, they're really just put here as placeholders, identifying what we know now to potentially be some of your future borrowing capacities for your five-year capital plan and some tax increment financing that may need to take place next year, as well as perhaps some additional water projects. So we've identified all of those, and with all of that financing through 2022, you'd still only be at about 21%. It would be the peak of that capacity. So based upon what we know now, you certainly have the potential to issue additional debt if that need were to arise.
Thank you. I thought it was important to point out, in case the council is looking at future issues based on, and knew the 5% for the state, but wasn't sure everyone was aware about our internal 40% capacity, so I wanted to make sure that they knew that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is your motion authorized? Is there a motion to approve the initial resolution authorizing GO bonds in the amount not to exceed $1,300,000 for water system projects?
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you very much. Item G5, let me read it off the sheet. Resolution providing for the sale of 1,300,000 GO bonds, Series 2014B. Is there a motion to adopt a resolution providing for the sale not to exceed $1,300,000 general obligation water system bond, Series 2014B?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G6, a resolution directing publication of notice to electors relating to the bond issue.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And Mark left the room. Well, catch up here.
Yeah, just wing it.
Okay, item G7. Well, I do have an order. This is a presentation of the 2015 Mayor's Recommended Annual Budget. Paul, where are you going? Okay. The staff has worked on this budget now, and fair enough, with me a little bit, since for the last 2 months. Started with a department head meeting in the hearing room, whereby I laid out to them what my goals were for this particular budget and how we operate the city. And I need to give my congratulations and thanks to the department heads for an excellent job at following exactly what I asked them to do, which was tighten up their budgets, give us a 0% levy increase. And the goal here is, as I've discussed with Mr. Liberta a million times, is to narrow our budget such that we're not giving back millions of dollars at the end of the year in underspend money, nor are we at risk to overspend a great deal of money. So tighten up the budget a little bit. In the past, we've done staff, department heads, and staff have done a tremendous job in giving back lots of money to but not to the taxpayers, but to the bottom line. So this year, we're going to give a little bit back to the taxpayers. And I want to single out Mark and Paul, specifically Paul, for Herculean effort. We were on the phone Friday night until, 7:30, 8 o'clock? And you guys were here much later than that. Mark and I have Saturday conversations. Their work on this budget and their guidance and help for me was invaluable. In terms of staff, great recognition belongs to Chief Oliva and his management team. They took it on the chin for this budget. They made some sacrifices without sacrificing public safety, and I appreciate that, Chief. It will go noticed. I almost said unnoticed. So with that, Mr. Liberta has a slide presentation. The intention here is to get you the document, give you an overview, and let you go home with it. So, Mr. Liberta.
Yes, and in front of you is your budget book split up into the sections. A copy of this will be available at the clerk's office tomorrow. It will be broken in sections and posted and available through our website, and there will be two copies in the library as well. So I'll run through the main aspects of the budget, talk some about property taxes, some of the main initiatives that the mayor's already alluded to, and then talk about expenditures and revenues by fund and some brief operating highlights. I'll try and go quickly because I know we have a full agenda still. The total property, the main initiative was to freeze property taxes, which this does. The total property tax levy remains frozen at the 2014 level. Statute would allow taxes, property taxes in total to increase based upon the new growth. As determined by the state, was 1.37%. So property taxes could have increased $280,000 plus some carryover from last year without actually increasing taxes on existing homeowners. But we do freeze the level, so there is no increase in property taxes. And you can see the two columns comparing the adopted taxes for 2014 to what is proposed for 2015. And the total tax levy remains the same in both instances, so there's a 0% increase. In fact, the total property taxes hasn't changed since 2013 because the current budget did the same thing. So with growth occurring in property value and total tax needing to be collected remaining the same, that will cause the property tax rate for municipal purposes to reduce. It'll go down from 629 to 627. The effect of that is approximately $2.27 on every $100,000 of assessed valuation. The second initiative that the mayor also alluded to is refining line items and managing the overall fund balances. So relative to refining line items, what we're talking about is taking individual line items throughout the budget with the intent of more accurately hitting overall year-end budget estimates. Departments have always been asked to maintain their budget in this manner. But individually, each line item, you always like to make sure you're able to keep it within the budget. And what we've done is work through and look at some historical patterns and try and refine them, fine-tune them, tighten it up, whatever you want to call it, so that each one is just a little tighter. It does create additional potential that you could be out of balance for the year, but we believe we've set it just that we will be closer. As the mayor indicated, the goal is to still finish the year with a surplus, just not necessarily a surplus of hundreds of thousands of dollars. So make expenses and revenues more occur actually closer to what's in the budget. And so that's what we've done. We've refined some of those line items that did free up money to be able to absorb some increases that need to occur in other areas. And the intent of that is to avoid unnecessary or excessive annual fund balance. So that sort of leads to the second half of that, which is managing those fund balance. Because we've had those increases, we have added some fund balances recently. And one thing this budget does is appropriate existing surplus fund balances so that we're following the fund balance policy. That policy is something that the Finance Committee has recently reviewed. It's quite likely that during this budget cycle, that policy itself will be brought back to you. But at this point, though, the budget does take some excess surplus revenues and reappropriates it into the budget to use it instead of spending that money, instead of retaxing or collecting other revenues for these things. When you look at doing any expenditure of fund balance, you're always asked to be cautious with that from a public policy standpoint so as not to create a deficit spending pattern. And the fiscal markets always like to make sure that if you're using fund balance, you're using it for one-time things. Best way to do that is usually capital items, one-time non-operating expenditures. You don't want to use fund balance for a lease payment or for personnel costs because that one-time transfer goes away, but the cost remains. But when it comes to capital items, that's not the case. So the $500,475 was moved to capital outlay fund, and $25,000 was moved to the street improvement fund. Relative to that amount in the capital outlay fund, the mayor also wanted to take advantage of trying to use that to help improve the ability of future budgets to stay balanced. So we enhanced the contingency line item within their budget to $130,000. And the intent is to then challenge departments to identify capital items that can increase efficiency or enhance safety. Increasing efficiency has the role of avoiding future costs or allowing you to maintain service levels without with current staff levels or current resources. Whereas enhancing safety, that goes a long way to impact one of our larger cost items in the budget, which is worker compensation costs, and we'll talk more about them some here. What's useful in doing this is often, you know, all year long, departments are getting ideas and opportunities, and it's not uncommon to have to wait for the budget to be able to bring some of these things forward. So by building in this contingency and putting the challenge out to department heads, if they can come up with something that they learn at a conference, learn from a peer, a new product becomes available, they don't have to wait till that next budget cycle. Now, that money can't be spent without the Common Council's authorization, so they're going to get to come to you, make that case study, and make it happen. But so that was one way to take those surpluses that have been built up and turn it right around to efficiency and safety, and at the same time give department heads an opportunity to go out and find things that can improve their department. So moving from those two.
Just to highlight that, about a month and a half ago, I was with Chief Remington, and I had a conversation with Mr. Romeis, and the subject of Chief? Traffic?
Emergency vehicle preemption.
Thank you. Came up, and we're reconstructing 76th Street, as you know, with 1, 2, 3 traffic lights. The cost per traffic signal to do that is about $8,700, plus the cost of mounting the emitter on the whatever apparatus, whether a police car or fire truck. We were, between the chiefs and Mr. Romeis and Mr. Liberta, made perfect sense to spend $4,500 such that now the county is, or actually the state is putting in the signal controls, $8,500 or $8,700 a piece. And we'll do so from here on out on any road, county or state trunk highway, that they have a traffic signal on. So we spent $4,500 to save a whole bunch more money, but the benefit is to our constituents, whereby our three paramedic rigs now can go through Wauwatosa and trip their signals and get a patient to the hospital faster or respond mutual aid in one of our neighboring communities. That's the kind of thinking we're trying to get to with that contingency model. Thank you, Mark. Sorry. But I digress.
No problem. So now I'm going to give a general overview of each of the funds. When you see how long it takes for the general fund, don't worry. That one takes about as long as all the other funds because it is our main fund. That's where most of the operations occur. We do budget by funds and segment our activities financially that way. This list doesn't include the water utility, which is a separate entity, and the TIF districts that aren't, since they don't cover citywide. So I'll just talk about the 10 primary funds that we have there that are listed on the side. The general fund expenditures, this is our big one. It's about $25 million. Expenses are up 2.2%. We actually have a little less tax levy in this fund. We've moved about $11,400 to one of the other funds. Revenues are up as well, about 1.4%, about $100,000 more than last year. And then within that fund is the transfer of fund balance that we talked about for the $500,000. Within the general fund, there's really three strategic sort of budgeting items to look at. The proposed budget will continue to receive the expenditure restraint program. The proposed budget will continues to have $950,000 in restricted contingency appropriations built in. That's a fairly important item. We instituted it a couple of years ago, and last year sort of stabilized it at this level. What that does is it has two actions. It builds an appropriation for significant risk management events. You have to, in the state of Wisconsin, you have to have an appropriation to make the expenditure. If a tornado came through and we all of it and created lots of damage, and we all of a sudden had to spend a lot of money, if we didn't have an ability to draw the appropriation, we could spend it without risking our expenditure restraint program. So simply doing emergency repairs could cause us to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars in state revenue. So we build this in, we don't spend it, and it just sort of provides that level of protection in the background, and it preserves room under the state's expenditure restraint program. It's a strategy that's very useful to us and has been built in the budget now for a couple of years. We also have within the proposed budget, we continue to have an anticipated unspent appropriations line item. So if you look through the individual line items in the budget, recognize out of all those line items, $360,000 of it needs to remain unspent just to balance. We know there's going to be lots of line items where there's $1,000 budgeted and the department uses $950 or $800. And all those, we anticipate that, again, as part of keeping the budget in line. We've had this line item in the budget 5 or 6 years at least, probably, if not longer than that. But this is a part of that strategy for helping to not have to appropriate so much in line items while giving the departments the managerial flexibility they need to maintain their budget. Some highlights in the general fund. I'll run through some of the major things influencing it. Despite no tax levy, there are still some programmatic changes that can be addressed. As we've talked about, we've refined numerous line items throughout the general fund. The school liaison officer is funded. It's an item that you already addressed in agreement with the school district. And so the funding for that was 70% revenue by the school district is included. We've fully funded the economic development director. It was only partially funded in 2014 because there was a mid-year start anticipated. Although the general fund itself only doesn't have the full cost because we did anticipate contributions from some other funds covering some of the cost of that position. Probably one of the most exciting pieces in the budget is an IT director manager. Information technology is one of the divisions that I supervise. I've supervised IT departments for 15 years for three different organizations. But I'm not an IT professional, and there are strategic initiatives that just can be pushed to enhance every department's operations. We've done a good job of advancing things, but I believe that with a IT professional managing that on a day-to-day basis, you will be able to better serve departments and enhance the overall efficiency of the organization. To make that happen, cuts were made in the IT and police department budgets where we have contractual services. So those contracts were reduced to provide funding, and the personnel technician that is in this current year's budget that hasn't been filled yet, that position was eliminated. So it was a switch from personnel services to IT services, and I believe the mayor's partial strategy with that was recognizing that we have Dana and myself as IT professionals that can
personnel
professionals that can push that area, so bring in an IT manager to enhance that area. Custodial staffing, about the time that the economy hit the fan a number of years ago, we had peeled back that area, and it is tough to maintain the library and City Hall and Police Department with the staffing that we have. Now with Act 10, we're taking advantage of some of those tools and anticipating moving away from the contract services back to an employee, still limited part-time people, but we believe we can do a better job and enhance the hours. We don't get all the way to where we were in 2009, but we make some strides in that area. The budget does include non-represented wage increases of 1% January, 1% July. And it's anticipated that the Common Council will do what it did last year, which is hold the initial implementation of that in advance, waiting for the classification and compensation study to be implemented and use the funds to implement it. That is moving forward. In fact, at the Personnel Committee meeting on Thursday, the two companies that are left from the process will be giving presentations to the Personnel Committee. So any aldermen interested in seeing that, it has been published with the backing notice so that you can all come if you want to hear them speak directly. Health insurance, with the action that we took last year, which has been so far a whole year project, getting all the loose ends cleaned up in moving to our different insurance network and third-party administrator. We have had substantial savings in this budget. Does basically freeze the level of health care costs, and any increases that we do feel, which we believe will be nominal, will be absorbed within the fund, our self-insurance fund. So again, using some fund balance to help manage this budget. Workers' compensation is one cost area that has gone up considerably, over $110,000, I believe, a little more than that. And that is something that comes from state-defined rates and based on a pattern of accidents and duty disability. So when those costs happen, they tend to track you for a year. And so we've cycled through, and we're in a cycle where we've headed back up, but we've been able to absorb those costs within the zero tax increase. On the revenue side, I won't read each one of those. The top couple, a couple of those up there are state aids. You can see transportation aids. We took quite a hit on. The fund transfers at the bottom, which is the largest number, is really an internal accounting thing, so I wouldn't focus on that too much. It's internal charging of DPW times. But a lot of those line items, like the clinic services, the court fees, the ambulance fees, those are some of the numbers that were what we would call fine-tuned. You know, we narrowed those down much closer to where we think they will be, which increases our likelihood, our potential for being wrong. And we believe they will work, that they're accurate numbers, but they're much closer, tighter than they have been in previous years.
Excuse me, Alderman Mayor.
Mark, I'm sure it's explained in here, but we just got this. What is transportation aids?
Transportation aids is one of the broad categories of state revenue that all municipalities receive based upon their expenditures on road maintenance.
How do we compare to other communities with that? Any idea?
I can't say how we compare to other communities because I haven't studied that particular piece, but it is an annual program that the state has that rebates monies back to local municipalities to assist with their road programs, and it is based on a six-year average of the amount of money that the cities, the municipalities, or the government agencies spend, as well as a formula of what's available by the state to spend. So there's a number of individual pieces. We will be notified in about 3 weeks as to what our 2015 estimate will be. This is our best estimate of what we think next year is going to happen based upon the rolling six-year average. But there is that could be higher or it could be lower, and we'll know in a couple of weeks.
And is it because we've spent less money on maintaining roads or more money, or how does it?
We have our rolling six-year average has been declining, as been defined by the state.
It doesn't relate to our spending.
Okay.
This is a check the state writes to us. I believe it comes from the gas tax, and it's at the whim of the governor and the legislature.
There's two different classifications.
Sorry, Paul.
They realigned the formula a number of years ago. And if your expenditures fell in a certain area above a certain average, instead of cutting you down, they let you stay there and you gradually are being reduced to the formula that may apply to other groups. So to answer your question, how we compare to everyone else, as far as getting more revenue, you want to be in the half that is under the freeze portion of the formula where you're reduced more slowly. We're in that portion. So given that they have formulas that applies, you're either in the higher end of the formula or the lower, and we're in the higher.
Page 10.
Thank you.
So the net is that same $100,000 that was on the earlier slide that we talked about. Switching to the library fund, very quickly, they have revenues of about $1.3 million. There's no change in the tax levy being applied there. They're anticipating expenditures of 1.4. The difference of about 72,000 is a fund balance reduction that they're looking at. And again, similar, they're doing some capital investments that they need for their building and facilities. They're getting to that aging point where some of those initial purchases need to be addressed, and they're doing that with some of their fund balance. The solid waste collection fund, the important thing there probably is the fact that there's no user fee rate increase. From a financial management standpoint, as long as, since this is a relatively new fund, just started a number of years ago, we designed it initially to continue to slowly build a fund balance so it could get up to the to have its own supported fund balance, which it should. And without increasing the rate this year, we're able to do that with the fund due to the growth that's occurring in the user side and in the recyclable revenues. So we no change again this year to the user fees. Sanitary sewer fund, this is pretty straightforward. It's much of it is passed through of MMSD costs that we get. They've identified 3.25% increase in to expect a rate increase. About two-thirds of that usually gets passed through an impact on rates. But it's largely passed through with MMSD. Capital Outlay Fund, this is the one where we've talked about some activity happened, the $475,000 transfer from General Fund. So the expenditures this year of about $940,000 is up considerably from prior years. In your budget, you will find that there is a five-year projection that we do to make sure that the fund balance stays. That sort of historic level that we use for annual expenditures is around $575,000. And when we project it over 5 years with the fund balance, even with the expenditure level this year with the influx in, we remain in line with our current fund balance policy and get through the 5 years. So it's what we've proposed is sustainable from at current levels.
If you're scoring along with us, it's page 33. It's under the operating funds tab, page 33. Nobody ever did that when I was here, so I figured.
The equipment replacement fund, this is one of our other capital outlay funds specifically used for replacing larger pieces of primarily rolling stock. Only two items, a fire command vehicle and snowplow, were slated for replacement this year. This is one fund that long-term for every piece of equipment in it, it's historically been slightly underfunded compared to full funding based on the fund policy. But it is useful to have an equipment replacement fund to deal with these pieces of equipment and be able to take some of these large costs and smooth out their costs through depreciation charges and contributions to this fund.
Page 78.
Street Improvement Fund. There is the one-time little bump of the $25,000 in fund transfer that we're throwing into this fund. The engineering department did put in requests for $1.2 million. We have left the expenditure budget at the $960,000, remains unchanged from last year. This is the fund that we just concentrate road repairs on, and the challenge that will be coming to this fund in the few years is a lot of those subdivisions that came with the residential boom of the 90s. They're starting to get to that age where they're needing that first round of maintenance so that you can preserve that top coat without getting damage to the subsurface, where then you have to do a total reconstruction, which is much more expensive. So this is one fund that it's stable, but a lot of its future will depend on how well existing road surfaces continue to last going forward.
This is, again, for repair and repaving, not reconstruction or construction of a new road.
Well, it would handle it would handle the reconstruction. That just doesn't come up as much because you can resurface it a number of times if you're doing proper maintenance, such as crack sealing and things like that, as you're going along the life of it, where you can keep the water from getting in the subsurface.
All of them will.
Since this long-term so I didn't hit it with my book. the long-term, this fund is seeing a decline. Do we have any ideas on how to get it back up to where we're going to need it to fund this program?
One of the, immediately, I'll say no. One of the goals Paul and I both have, and that I've had at other organizations where I've worked, is longer-term capital outlay programs where you've got five-year detail plans, a 5 to 10 year sort of funnel coming in, and then a 10 to 20 year, and you've really structured all your capital very well. There becomes no surprises that way. When we get to that stage, I think we will have to address that more clearly. The story you just heard me told, although it may have sound dire, that's the same story you heard Cal tell you before I was even hired here 8 years ago. So it isn't an immediate problem. It's one that communities often face. I can tell you if we woke up tomorrow and the roads all of a sudden changed, the way most communities deal with those blips in the road is they tend to do a borrowing, a large replacement, and then blend that cost through the financing mechanism. But if we look to address that with some of those same things, we might be looking at an equipment replacement fund and some of our long-term capital and park things and do this longer-term capital plan, then we can build that in. We see some of how we do that now with the, you just addressed it today with the $2 million borrowing. That's an every-year borrowing, keeps the fund stable, our debt service costs stay stable, and you just balance some of that. And so we're looking to have to do that sort of thing on a longer term with capital. So an immediate answer, no. If crisis came up, we would have some strategies for you. But it would be my preference to find the time to address a more detailed long-term capital outlook.
The other strategy would be, and I advocated this a couple of years ago, is to be a little less aggressive in your road repair program initially, allow the fund balance to build up, and then resume a normal replacement cycle, whatever that normal would be. It's all an issue as to engineer's recommendation and the opinions of the common council at that point as to whether that money gets spent. And I give you an example of, we repaved Oakwood Road several years ago to the tune of $700,000. That road has 600 cars a day on it. Did we need to spend that money? My statement at the time was, no, let's hold off. So that's a valid thing for you as a common council to think about as the road program comes through. I'm not saying do it, I'm just saying you can think about it. That's another strategy.
The benefit of long-term road budgeting now compared to 10 and 15 years ago is the state's tool and mandate for PASER, the consistent road scoring. So you can track mile per mile how your roads are keeping up, and you can see maintenance problems coming 10 years in advance because you can watch how the road changes. So if you do a good job following that program, you can actually convert those scores into a funding tool, just like you have a fund balance policy, you can have a road funding program based upon PASER scores. So it's not a lot of communities do it, but the tool is really there for very effective long-term managing of roads. Not an issue we've been able to address because for the last 5 years, we've been trying to manage based upon a total change in economic conditions that has made it hard to venture to new areas like that because the revenues haven't been there. But the tools are all in place, so it's an opportunity. We have more data now than we used to. So debt service fund, we've really talked about that to some degree. I'm sure you covered that some. That does talk about in the 2015. We don't have that $2 million that we do every year. We do have a $1 million repayment of an interfund advance that we had, and there is one debt service that is being, I believe, resolved for just short of $1 million. In the debt service fund, just to be clear, it doesn't include the anticipated $3.4 million needed for TID 3 for the South 27th Street project. Capital improvement fund. We have a capital outlay fund and a capital improvement fund. That sometimes confuses people. Capital outlay are the smaller items, the equipment you're buying for departments, the computer equipment, furniture, things like that. But it can be larger things as well. But the capital improvement fund are those larger construction projects, your park projects. You can see the sample projects listed there. When you incorporate sewer and water building, the South 27th Street project, City Hall, and the entrance, we did put some funding in there for the entrance that you asked us to find an architect and begin to work on. You have about $9 million of expenditures.
95.
One positive thing coming into this fund, we do anticipate with 2015 that there will be an enhancement to the landfill siting revenues coming based upon operations there and the nature of the contract language. So I think there's about $400,000 in extra revenue in that fund.
More like $600,000.
The development fund is the fund that records the activity, the impact fees. We've got about $703,000 anticipated for next year. This year so far through June, we're about $404,000. So that's still a conservative number in this particular fund. You can see that really this fund transfers money to other funds where the expenditures are made from. So the impact fees are collected into here. And then for the road, the fire station, the police station, those that were built, it gets transferred to the debt service fund to pay for the debt that was taken by the city to pay for those. There's a lot of park impact fees in here, and then water fee as well. We did plan some extra money in there just to make sure we can complete the fee study that's currently underway and try and get that resolved before the year is done. That covers the funds. The process itself, you're at the start of that, which is today, the distribution of the budget to you. Also on that list is for you to, just based upon what you heard in this presentation, determine or identify any additional materials that you might automatically know that you need, or departments that you might want to make sure that they're at the first budget meeting, which is October 6th, which is the Committee of the Whole. This will be on there, and as a Committee of the Whole, you'll be able to go through the budget and the details and talk to department heads in, to whatever extent you want. Between now and then, you're encouraged to contact and work directly with department heads if you'd like, with any questions that you have as they come through. After October 6th, following the regular Common Council meeting on the 7th, you can also list that Committee of the Whole and have additional discussions on the budget. And you can have any other meetings you want if there's more work to be done. But the last day for budget changes, if you want to include that in the public hearing, is Friday, October 17th. That gives us part of a week, the 20th to the 23rd, to get it submitted and get it the public hearing notice in. We have statutory requirements for public hearing notice. That just identifies the budget that gets presented to the committee. If there are still issues that you need to address, there are some meetings, we've noted some there, like the regular council meeting on the 21st, where you can continue to talk about any issue that isn't resolved. The notice gets published on October 30th, and then we would end up having a public hearing and the budget adoption of the ordinance scheduled for November 18th. So with that timeline, following the timeline pattern from last year and previously approved by the Common Council, that is a relatively late start. So you really don't want to wait till the end of the process to get issues resolved, because if we get it pushed back much before then, it will be challenging to get property tax bills to people in time so they can get them paid out before January 31st, which a lot of people like to do for their own income tax reasons. So that is an overview of the budget. Happy to answer questions now, but if there are any, but in general, that's what the Committee of the Whole meetings are scheduled for.
Thank you, Mr. Liberta. Again, thank you and Paul and staff. I see Alderman Schmidt.
Regarding the impact fees, was some of the impact fees have a shelf life that we have to use them or lose them at all? Or is that not?
Yes. Yeah, they do, but we do have a number of park projects that are
In the works that would make sure that we wouldn't.
In the
even
works.
If they've not initiated the.
Yeah. And I'm fairly confident that I've actually identified a statutory provision that would allow us to extend that time period for special circumstances. And the fact that we had to, through 2009 to about 2012, because of the economy, pretty much stop the work that we were doing on the parks at the time, we'll probably be able to qualify for that. So that's something while the budget's going on, I'll probably be working on too, so that before we get to the year end, that issue can be resolved as well.
Is that something else that could be applied to, like extension of a sidewalk or something? Would that be applied in that regard? Or
the park impact fees?
Capital.
You mean? Well, the if the sidewalk is built and designed such that it's part of that park system and hits the trails component of the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, then it is possible to likely possible to apply impact fees to the construction.
And I reminded Common Council about 2 months ago you approved a you authorized staff to proceed with a plan that dealt with impact fees through 2015 and so on. So Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Mayer.
Could you put the page number right off of the recommended capital improvement projects?
99, I think.
And while you're looking for that, I just want to make the point that while staff has and the mayor have had 2 months to put this together, we basically have 9 business days before the committee of the whole meeting to get our questions answered for that meeting, so we should get on it.
Capital improvement funds on 99. Mr. Ratzenberger.
Mr. Mayor, the page 99, as you point out, lists the capital improvement projects as well as the funding for those projects if it's using something other than city funds. And there's an enumeration of those projects on page 96, 97, and 98 in terms of some verbiage. On pages 100 and 101 is the fund list. So there, so you can see the funding of the source for a number of different years. And then finally, the pages immediately following that are the individual submissions that we receive from department heads for the projects that are included in this particular budget.
Alderman Mayer.
Thanks, everybody, for doing such a great job on this, department heads and Mark and Paul and the citizens who pay for this ultimately. Just 2 quick questions. Can we get a copy of your PowerPoint, and will it have this timetable on it if we can get this as well?
The timetable is on your agenda. I can create a similar PowerPoint. I can actually email this to you, but there is a lot of what's called animation in it, so when you print it out, sometimes it looks very odd. Last year, what I did was spend some extra time and created still versions of it and put the reference page number up in the corner, and then we posted that online next to the budget. If you'd like that to happen, it'd probably just take me about a day or two to do.
Either way, if you email is fine too. I don't need to print it, just to
okay.
Give you.
Yes, yeah, I was looking for it. What page?
It's a PowerPoint.
Can you just
send the packet.
The notes to it?
In the packet.
Pardon?
Can you just send the notes
oh, yeah,
instead?
Okay. That's fine. With the PowerPoint.
We'll take care of
it. Doesn't it have a notes version?
We'll take care of it.
Because of animation, it has overlap.
Mark,
stuff actually writes on top.
Give it to me. We'll take care of it.
Handle it.
We'll take care of it. We will honor your request, Alderman Mayer, with the suggestion of Alderman Evans. Anyone else? Feel free. Yes, Alderwoman Mayer.
Is it customary that the public hearing and the adoption of the annual budget is done on the same night?
It's customary.
That's always the way it is.
Not always. And there have been years where it hasn't. That has been the most common, and it's what the Common Council wanted to do last year. But many communities do it that way.
Okay. Do very many people show up for the public hearing?
In all honesty, if you have a 6% tax increase, yes. If you have a 0% tax increase, no, not typically.
How do they know what's coming?
Well, we will have a story on this budget as the front page of our newsletter that is waiting for tonight so I can finish the story, and it will be in the mail very soon. So there will be a newsletter going to every business and property that has that story. It'll be available at the library, available at the clerk's office. It'll be online. and John here today. Newspaper's not here today, but usually we get a little story in the now as well. So.
And you're certainly welcome to, I was going to say publish this on your own Facebook sites, but you know, this is what, 500 pages, 400 pages, whatever. But you're certainly welcome to publicize this on your own Facebook and websites. I encourage that. Alderman Mayor.
Is there an opportunity for citizens if they had something that they wanted to, you know, add to questions or bring to public comment that they would have a chance to speak on this before?
We
Before October 17th, obviously.
Yeah. There's no reason we can't put citizen comments on each of the committee, the whole agendas as well, and provide an opportunity to get input at that. And if I see a general consensus of that, I can make sure to try and remember to note that in the story so that they're all aware if they want to come listen or comment that they can do so at that at those budget meetings.
I would like that.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you again. Thank you, staff. Those of you who don't want to sit around, carry on. Item GA. There is no action. Somebody wish to refer this to the Committee of the Whole of October 6th?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Doug. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. It's been done. Okay, GA. An ordinance to amend 183-76 of the Municipal Code, arrows and other projectiles, pursuant to 2013 Wisconsin Act 71, limiting our local government unit authority to regulate hunting with a bow, arrow, and crossbow. Chief Oliva. Yes, excuse me, Alderman.
Well, I agree. This is taking away local authority to determine what we feel is correct.
Right.
Yeah. And I wanted to point out that the League of Municipalities took a stand against this. It was passed in the Senate by only 3 votes, 18 yeses, 15 noes. The Natural Resource Board, it passed by 1 vote with 3 ayes and 2 noes. And 100 yards is the new status, which is basically 300 feet or less than 1/16th of a mile.
So. For a crossbow. Yeah. City Attorney.
Actually, continuing on from the Common Council President, it's bow and arrow and crossbow. It's mandatory regulation. The Franklin draft ordinance before the Common Council is based upon further research done. It's not the short version, which is basically Act 71, and that gets ordained by local municipalities. Franklin went beyond that. The chief opined that the long-standing permit process, which is relatively unique to the city of Franklin, remain as necessary in the interest of the public health and safety, which is a provision in Act 71. Bottom line, prior code, which can no longer be more restrictive than the provisions set forth in Act 71, said no hunting, bow and arrow within 500 feet of any building. And that's whether it was habited, you know, or not. Mandatory distance factor is 300 feet now from a human-occupied building. Doesn't reference other outbuildings such as sheds, which were in the prior code. Can't do that anymore. So that's the bottom line difference, and it is mandatory.
So, Alderwoman Willem.
Are we going to have a permit fee?
Permit provisions stay in. That's set forth in the whereas clauses, and it's that part of the ordinance remains unchanged.
Okay.
And one other note with regard to Act 71, a further less restrictive state mandate is that if the owner of a property with a human habitable building gives permission to hunt within the 300 feet of that building, it may occur. Also, if the property owner wishes to hunt on the property owner's own property with regard to 300 feet from the property owner's own residence, can do so.
So we can have urban backyard neighborhood hunting now.
Alderman Dandridge.
This is a question for Jesse. If the landowner has posted his land as no hunting, how would that be? I mean, how would that be interpreted, by a call by the landowner to the police department?
Landowner posts land. There's no hunting on that property allowed.
Call the chief.
Same as current.
Okay.
Mayor.
I mean, you would need a permit to do that anyway. I mean, you need a permit to hunt on your own land. You need a permit to hunt on somebody else's land. You'd have to have permission to hunt on somebody else's land, correct? So
you would think.
And
I'm coming over Sunday. Mr. City Attorney.
Obviously, you need a state hunting license, but Franklin has that extra local permit process.
Is there a motion to adopt the resolution? Ordinance? Sorry.
We have another question.
Mr. Mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd like to hear from Chief Oliva to hear what he has to say about this, if he has any comments.
Chief Oliva.
Well, there's not much more to say that's been said. That it's basically a state mandate to change the ordinance to come to compliance with state law. That's what the city attorney did. There's not much to argue about. The one option we had was keep the permit process for that. And again, we came up with justifiable reasons to keep the permit process. So I'm fine with what the city attorney did to make our ordinance compliant with state law.
And also, this is for licenses for a 12-year-old, but with the DNR for hunting, you can get a 10-year-old mentorship. You can, it's not a license, but you can go with a mentor. Can you do this with a bow?
Yeah, state, because they would need a state hunting license to hunt. The hunting regulations would be consistent with the state DNR licensing regulations as far as who could hunt.
For the record, I did get a phone call from a bow hunter who has a substantial land owns here in the city, who voiced his opinion against this ordinance for specifically the concerns that I think we all share. Of course, my statement is his personal responsibility is what it is. He shouldn't be hunting close to the house anyway. Alderwoman Evans. Alderwoman Mayor, excuse me. I'll get it.
One of these days. and this includes playgrounds and schools, and this is just any building?
No.
Mr. City Attorney.
1,700 feet, playgrounds, schools.
Oh, still. Okay.
That remains. That's one of the additional provisions that staff track down to make sure that they're not subject to Act 71.
Oh, I can't. Okay. Alderman Mayor, and then Alderman Dagger. Pleasure.
If the state is handing this down, why do we have to adopt it? If we don't adopt it, it becomes law anyway, correct?
Well, we've got an ordinance in place that has to be.
Actually, in the interim, before this was brought to the council, the police department was well aware that terms and provisions of the existing ordinance could not be enforced, and what it does is make a more difficult process because it might be confusing to property owners. The property owner reads an ordinance that's invalid under the statute and then follows up on that with the department has to explain what the status was, so it just makes organizational sense.
Okay, that's a very good explanation. Thank you.
I think it's Alderman Dandry, then Alderman Wilhelm, then Alderman Evans, then Alderman Schmidt, then Alderman...
Well, No, I just wanted, it's on page 51, Suzanne, if you really want to look. There are other limitations to the distances in regards to parks, parkways, Milwaukee County parks. There are other restrictions in regards to the distance, so that are allowed here. So that's all I wanted to say at that point.
Alderman Wilhelm, and then let's bring this to a conclusion. It's something we don't have anything to do with.
Well, I guess I was looking at the motion. I realize the motion says that it's pursuant to this act, but I thought for the average reader seeing this in the paper, maybe adding something to the motion that said, which brings it in compliance with state law, might be even clearer for the reader that why we did this.
I'll say that you're certainly welcome to make a motion with that included, but before you do that, Madam Clerk.
For publication purposes, for the public, this entire ordinance is published. Not just the title, in a minute, it's the entire ordinance.
Alderwoman Love. You have a motion
regarding this? No, I'm not.
I'll make the motion. I'll make a motion to adopt an ordinance to amend 18376 of the Municipal Code, arrows and other projectiles pursuant to 2013 Wisconsin Act 71, limiting the local governmental unit authority to regulate hunting with a bow and arrow or a crossbow.
I'll second that, but then I have a question.
It's been moved and seconded. Alderman Mayer.
So was it regulated by the state prior to this in the form that we had?
Mr. City Attorney.
There were no prohibitions with regard to the terms and provisions of local hunting within a city.
We still have to comply with state licensing requirements.
Okay.
We set the requirements where the distance to the city. So some overlap.
Anyone else? Seeing none, I said that quickly. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are any opposed on moral grounds? Okay, item G9. Authorization to contract approval with the installation and maintenance of fiber optic line, City of Franklin Police Department to Waukesha's chief.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Congratulations, chief. Good job. Item 10, authorization to paint some fuel tanks. Is there a motion? Mr. City Attorney.
Discussion with staff. This is a subject matter that needs to go before the Board of Public Works and statutory Class 1 notice provision. So,
motion to refer to.
Refer to Public Works.
Motion to refer to Public Works.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there authorization to purchase play structure, Lions Legend Park, as recommended by the Parks Commission?
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution to award contract for re-roofing of a public works salt storage building in the budget and approved.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G13, a resolution approving conveyance of rights of land conveying temporary construction easement and lump sum agreement for payment for lands and or interests in lands from a public utility to and with, who wrote this? Jesse. To and with the State of Wisconsin Department of Transportation as they pertain to the City of Franklin easements in the area of reconstruction of South 27th Street, State Highway 241 project from West College Avenue to West Drexel, Mr. City Attorney.
Subject.
Mr. Romeis. Who wants this?
Here we go. I'll follow.
City Attorney.
Subject matter was before the Common Council at its last meeting. Discussion involved private property owners in the vicinity of South 27th Street and West Rawson Avenue and their status with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. I believe the action sheet references Alderman Wilhelm's discussions with the engineering department as well as with property owners on that subject matter. I understand that engineering is recommending approval here. There's roughly 3.5 acres of easements that will be affected between Drexel Avenue and College Avenue, essentially, with regard to the reconstruction of South 27th Street. There are a number of documents. What it does do is allow for the utilities in those areas to be moved. Wisconsin Department of Transportation will pay under the lump sum agreement $38,500 to the city. There's a conveyance of right and temporary construction easement, so those areas, as well as with regard to the temporary construction, as I understand it, may be conveyed to the Department of Transportation in terms of where the city utilities will be removed, and temporary construction, which lies within city easement property. So there's the number of documents that are listed there. The entirety of the subject matter was reviewed by consulting utility engineer Camper and Associates, the recommendation from Camper was for approval.
Your motion to adopt a resolution approving a conveyance of rights in land conveying a temporary construction easement and lump sum agreement for payment for lands or interest in lands from public utility to and with the State of Wisconsin Department of Transportation as it pertains to the City of Franklin easements in the area of reconstruction South 27th Street, State Highway 341, project from College Avenue to West Drexel, all the way to the wall.
So moved.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Alderwoman Mayor.
Who
getting closer.
Who seconded?
Mark.
I have questions. Wasn't this the group of people who came in the last common council meeting and had questions about the parking and
property owner? No. I mean that was why it was deferred. Action on this was deferred as to look into that matter, but no, it's not these three authorizations.
So this is not going to affect their parking spots?
Well, this is talking about the acquisition of DOT right-of-way necessary for the reconstruction of 27th Street has an impact on existing easements, and that's what this is about. It's really, as attorney said, it's kind of a procedural courtesy of theirs to notify you that in acquiring this land, notice that we, the city, have easements for sewer, water.
Let me shorten this. Do we have easements on Rawson Avenue in front of the... It's not us.
So we cannot use the property across the street from Rawson and the other gas station? I guess I'm kind of confused as to why we need to take these parking spots from these people.
We are not. The state of Wisconsin is.
But why can't they use the property across Rawson?
The property is being taken for purposes of right turn lanes. It's not an easement. It's not a temporary easement that's going on.
It's also being used for a construction.
Well, we have flow control stations, metering stations.
Oh, yeah, Ron, you're on the wrong side of the street.
No, this is the Clark side. I'm former Clark side.
So. She's talking about the mobile site.
Let's be clear about this. This is a state project. They're buying easements from the city so that we can have payment for them using our right-of-way.
For the right turn lane. I understand that.
No. This does not relate to the right turn lane. This is utilities. The right turn lane is private property. So, you have...
Was any work done with any of the DOT people to look into helping the business? Did you look into that?
I did and advised all of the contacts that... agents of the state working on that matter. Yes, absolutely.
And nothing's going to happen, or?
I'm not sure of the result.
If it is resolved that the state of Wisconsin can help those people with parking spots, in the way that we were thinking with using part of that mobile station land for that. Is this going to affect it at all?
This doesn't affect that. What you're dealing with, this resolution does not deal with that. Correct.
So there's still a possibility for the state of Wisconsin to save these parking spaces for these people?
I believe there are options available to the folks that are looking for parking, possible acquisition of the land. It's a different subject matter between the private party and the state DOT, and how that would work.
Mayor Olson, when you were absent from the last meeting, what you're missing on this item is the fact that when this item came up, the maps in there also indicated easements, as you know, on the property down by Lawson Avenue. And what I had said to Mr. Romeis on this item was, I had said, Mr. Romeis, the DOT wants something from us, and we, as people who are interested in economic development being maintained, really need something from them. And I would like to hold this up so we can have a chance to talk to them on what they could do for the basically the Dr. Shugtai building, which has three businesses in it, and they're losing just about half of their parking lot, which makes them non-compliant under city ordinance. They were not compensated in that method when they've got their cost for that as being a non-compliant under city ordinance. They were compensated for acreage per land. So they are going to lose their parking lot, and they would like to try to buy some of the mobile parking lot. The DOT has told them that will be tied up for 3 years while they use it for a staging area. And so what I was trying to help them with, because I am on the Economic Development Commission, don't want to see any business lost, would be to see if the DOT would be willing to sell them a portion of that property or move their staging area over on the other side. And that's where the discussion is. And that's how it relates to this matter, is because we're basically losing the one playing card that we have to help these businesses by adopting this. I understand it's not related, but it is our playing card. And that's why I had it tabled last time. Now, Ron has told me that we need to move this forward, and I'm willing to do that. We are under some negotiations and discussions, but I would like your assistance with that.
Happy to.
Thank you.
Just for everyone's information, Ron and I had a meeting this morning with Wisconsin Electric Power. Excuse me, I did that to them too. Wisconsin Energy on burying the power lines. And you want to talk about fast tracks? They got to get all their stuff done before one bit of dirt gets moved. So, okay. So, yes, I'll help you with that. Let's move this forward. Mr. City Attorney.
Just one point, and I thought I'd get a third party expert source. Had a phone call with the engineer from planner from HNTB, who's been working on the South 27th Street project as part of the HNTB Oak Creek and Franklin contract since somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 or 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Bottom line is, this is a state jurisdictional matter. The state of Wisconsin, bottom line, not need City of Franklin permission to reconstruct this road. And what's before the Common Council on this matter has not been researched as to whether or not it's mandatory, but the DOT, which from experience to most people in the room here, changes plans here and there and tweaks them as it goes along, all of a sudden there's not a lump sum payment. All of a sudden, there's a we don't need conveyance of rights, and the road is going through. And there's that, from a staff standpoint, concern, because very technically, even though this is a state government road project, it's a private matter versus a city matter. And ultimately, where do you draw the line? I understand the Common Council President's concern, but where do you draw the line when maybe the federal government gets involved with some private property owner, et cetera, et cetera? And so that's the comment there. And if there's takings involved, there's compensation to be awarded.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion
no.
carries. Excuse me, Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
No.
Vote is 5-1. Motion carries. Item G14, a motion to approve the recommendation of the Franklin Water Commission to survey property owners abutting West St. Martin's Road from State Highway 100 to West Forest Home as to their desire. Which one? Which mayor?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Alderwoman Wilhelm.
To do the survey.
The motion is to direct staff to survey abutting property owners.
Is this borrowing part of the borrowing? This is just a survey. I understand
yeah.
this is a survey, but they're talking about the cost of this for $1.6 million for the project. That's not included, I'm pretty sure, in what we just did for bonding, so
correct.
That would be a future bonding item, which the council, I want to just point out, anticipate that borrowing would result in a potential increase in our water rate, which will affect everyone.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G15, an ordinance to add section 245.5D4 of the Municipal Code to establish no parking on the north side of Brentwood Park Drive from the center of West Loomis. I don't know that we're parking in Loomis Road, but to a point 300 feet to the south. Essentially, the corny. Is there a motion to adopt such an ordinance?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
5 minute recess.
Absolutely. What time is it? Let's do 20 after 25.
Should we go into the motion? Okay, never mind.
Let's do a recess 20 after. We'll reconvene the Common Council meeting to order. It's 8:21. At least that's what these old eyes say. Item G16, is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes 19.85 sub 1 sub e for market competition and bargaining reasons to deliberate and consider terms relating to potential acquisition and development of property within the city for future business parks, mixed use and or retail development centers, service, product, and potential investment proposals for such purposes, and the investing of public funds in governmental actions in relation thereto, and to affect such development, including service, product, and potential investment contract terms and provisions, and including terms and provisions of potential development agreements for the development of property within the tax incremental district for future business park, mixed use, and or retail development centers purposes, and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters as discussed therein as it deems appropriate. And without objection, I'd ask the chairman of Economic Development and other Economic Development Commission members to participate. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, roll call, Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Vote is 6-0. We are in closed session. We are finally back in open session at 5 minutes to 11. Is there a motion?
What do you mean?
Alderman Mayer.
I defer to the counselor for a motion.
All right. Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, there are three potential motions for consideration by the common council.
All right, let's do one at a time.
First, potential motion for consideration by the common council is a motion to direct staff to negotiate those contracts as discussed in closed session for potential future business park development purposes.
Is there a motion to that effect?
That seems to cover all three.
No.
One at a time.
Oh, okay. Okay, so.
Is that a yes? Is that your motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Alderman Mayer nodded his head up and down in the affirmative. Alderman Dandria seconded the motion. Any discussion of that motion? Everybody clear? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
No.
Mr. City Attorney. Excuse me. The vote is 4-2. Motion carries.
Second motion for potential consideration by the common council would be a motion direct staff to negotiate those contracts as discussed in closed session for potential mixed-use development and to return the same to the common council accordingly.
Alderman Mayer. Motion to effect.
So moved.
Support?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Mr. City Attorney.
Third potential motion for consideration by the Common Council might be a motion to direct staff to negotiate those contracts as discussed in closed session for potential retail development, and as with the two prior motions, and I'm assuming I read this language in on the first one.
No, you didn't.
And to return the same to the common council accordingly.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? We'll revisit the first motion after a closed session.
Yes, if the first proposed motion did not include it, to return the same to the common council accordingly, meaning the business park contract items, a separate motion to add that for return purposes to the common council to that item accordingly.
Can we vocalize?
Yes.
Okay, second. Alderman Mayer moved seconded by Dan.
I would defer that in our meeting.
To add the return to the common council at date certain. Or whatever the language is, as the city attorney did. Any discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
That's appropriate.
That was the same.
It was the same.
All right, Madam Clerk, please call the roll so we can get it clear.
Alderwoman Mayer.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
the separate motion to amend the original affirmative vote is 4-2. The motion carries. Item H1, Alderman Dandridge.
H1. I move to approve the following licenses. Quinn Applin, hold for additional information. Kathleen Scherhoff, approved. Chelsea Gagliano, hold for appearance. Julia Wolf, approved. Extraordinary entertainment and amusement license for the Rock Complex, approved, pending insurance. Operator new, Melissa Bolio, approved, and Clint Crawley, approved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none? Oh, excuse me. Let the record note the Alderwoman Mayor has left the room at 11:04. Any discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. At your item I-1, at your place, there's a revised council action form for vouchers and payrolls. Is there a motion approving the net general checking account city vouchers in the range of 153618 through 153789, the amount of $531,439.32, dated September 5th?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated September 19th, 2014, amount of $340,275.83, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $365,375.76, plus any matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Motion 6-0 approved. 5-0, Alderwoman Mayer not voting. Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated October 3, 2014, estimated at $339,000, and payments of the various payroll deductions estimated at $213,000 plus any matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Vote is 5-0. Alderwoman Mayer not voting. Motion approved. Is there a motion approving a voucher to Milwaukee County in the amount of $50?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm. Alderman
Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
The vote is 5-0. Alderwoman Mayer not voting. Motion passes. Is there a motion adjourned?
Make that motion.
Support.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk. Roll call. Motion is 6-0. Thank you.